In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Jesus came to live in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. What a glorious proclamation. It makes me think back to the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it, could not comprehend it, didn't know what to do with it. We've all experienced power outages up here in the mountains. I think of that moment when the lights go out and everything is dark, and you scramble for the flashlights. And when you turn on that flashlight, how that light just pierces through the darkness. And the greater the light, the more it dispels the darkness. Or early in the morning, someone comes into the room and flips on the light before you're ready. The light instantly fills the room. The darkness doesn't have a choice, because darkness in itself is nothing. Nothing but the absence of light. And when light is present, darkness cannot be. Now, the gospel is not merely talking about visible light. As is often the case, it's referring to a more important spiritual reality. Darkness itself, visible darkness, is not always a bad thing. In fact, when God created, He ordered all things, separating the light from the darkness, setting the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. We know this from the scriptures. No, he's talking about the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of error. He's talking about the shadow of death, which is sin. Sin is attached to death. The two are connected. One inevitably leads to the other, unless something intervenes. I'd also like to point out that those people in the darkness were not working in the darkness. They were not talking in the darkness. They were not running in the darkness. They sat. They were complacent. It's a passive state of being, that the darkness is happening to them. And they are not actively looking for the light, and yet the light shines on them anyway. This is God's wonderful gift and God's wonderful proclamation on this day. For in fact, that great light is not visible light, but Christ himself, the true light. We'll sing after we receive the Eucharist. We have found the true light, or we have seen the true light. We have found the true faith. Worshiping the undivided Trinity who has saved us. This is our natural response to receiving the body and blood of Christ. And just as God revealed himself when he entered into the Jordan to be baptized, with the voice of the Father bearing witness to his beloved Son, and confirmation being given by the descent of the Holy Spirit, the true faith, worshiping God as Trinity, so in the Eucharist, with Christ, we have received that same true light. He has entered into us as he did in the Jordan River to dispel the darkness that is in us. Now, sometimes we try to shade ourselves, to limit the intensity of that light, to escape its fullness, sort of like a spiritual beach umbrella. The light can shine as long as it doesn't shine on this spot, right here. I love the Orthodox faith. But the liturgy, fasting, people, repentance, it's too much. I want to be holy as long as I don't have to give up these comforts or passions. I want to have life as long as I can still hold on to just a little bit of death. And so many of us, myself included, are this way because we have gotten used to darkness. And as we are exposed to the light, that light can be uncomfortable. When it gets dark, our eyes, after a while, after a few moments, tend to adjust to the darkness. We can see a little bit better. We get acclimated to it. We get comfortable in it. And we begin to desire that darkness. And the light becomes something that's difficult to bear. Someone comes and flips on the light. But the same thing can happen with the light. The more time we spend in the light, the more acclimated we become to it. The more time we spend in holy humility, in repentance, the more time we spend in the joyful worship of God, the more it becomes comfortable and even desired. And those things that were too much, that we didn't want to let go of, we begin to see as things that are holding us back from the joy of this true light. We cannot have the light with the darkness. The two cannot coexist. And for us, the great light of Christ has dawned. And we either enter into it or we retreat into the darkness. And should we enter into it, living in the light requires a response. Those who sat in darkness did so passively. They had no agency over themselves. But the life enlightened by Christ is active. It requires engagement. We heard in the epistle from St. Paul this morning that grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. To equip the saints, that means you. To equip you for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. It's work. The Orthodox Church is work. It's not some club that we come and enjoy the pretty music and look at the pretty icons and let it kind of happen to us. But we have to enter into it and engage with it. And Christ, continuing that way that was prepared for him by St. John, the forerunner, began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this kingdom is none other than Christ's kingdom. So where he is, where his light shines, there his kingdom is also. It is a present reality. A present reality offered to each of us to enter into. And so have you repented from any passion that you have previously held on to? and expelled all darkness from your life, then Christ's light shines in you, and his kingdom is present in you also. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.